You're listening to Lower Road Radio, voted by Podcast Monthly as one of the top 50 sports radio podcasts to premiere in January of 2016. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what sportspodcast.biz.gov calls subpar at best.
At Tanagra When the Walls Fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you for episode 64 of Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How are you doing today?
I am doing good.
Doing good.
Yeah.
That's all you're gonna.
I had something planned.
Uh-huh.
And as I was driving over in the car, I was thinking, I'm going to say this.
Right.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Hmm. You want to tip your cap to the sponsor of the show?
Coca-Cola? Yeah, sure. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2...
Whoa, that was a good one.
It went really quick. I didn't expect it to go that quick.
That was a really good one.
I opened up a Coke the other night.
Yeah.
My wife bought some bottles.
Uh-huh.
Payday.
Okay.
So, you like the bottles. We splurged and got some bottles the other day.
Uh-huh.
But it was sitting beside my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm taking all this NyQuil and I'm just drying out, right?
Okay, sure.
And so I woke up and I was really, really thirsty. And I opened up the thing and it exploded on me. And like it got the bed wet.
In
my socks
of the
wet.
Night?
Yes. It was awful.
That's horrible.
It was horrible.
Can I suggest that when you're thirsty, maybe you drink water, you know?
I wasn't feeling good. Leave me alone. I was just dying of thirst. I had brought a Coke up with me.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted, you know, and my socks were wet and the sheets were wet. And like it almost looked like I peed the bed.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I don't know that that's the best way to start off the episode, but that's how we started it off, so we can't go back and re-record it now. That's not even an option. All right, so we're going to start off this episode. This is our secondary episode, not really a roundup of what's happening in sports, but more of a, whatever we want to talk about kind of a thing. But we always start this show off with our Netflix suggestion of the week. So we'll play the jingle.
Yeah.
The Netflix. I'm still not used to the jingle.
Netflix. Watch these shows with us. Netflix. Maybe Hulu Plus. Netflix. Watch these shows with us. Netflix. Maybe Hulu Plus. Maybe Amazon Prime or something like that, like YouTube, or we don't want to put a box around what you watch, so you never know.
Okay, so there it is, the Netflix suggestion of the week. Jingle, anyway. So what's your suggestion of the week, Jason?
Can I do two?
No, save the next one for next week. It's the Netflix suggestion of the week.
I'm going to do two.
Okay, it's not the Netflix suggestions.
Well, you give one, I give one, that's two.
Okay.
So we'll do three this time.
All right, do it.
Okay, well, I've been doing a lot of John Wayne lately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's two different John Wayne movies on Netflix right now.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's more than two, but there's the two that I've watched recently. El Dorado.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
Maybe.
It's a good movie, but there's one scene that makes me crack up. So much of the political correctness today.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this stuff would never have happened.
Yeah.
This guy is in an old west town, and they're trying to get past, like, a bodyguard.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, watch this. And, like, he puts a goofy hat on and a big overcoat, and he starts walking, like, waddling, and he goes, chee-chee-chaw, ka-chee-chee. Like he was, like,
yeah,
a Chinese guy, you know?
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
No, and it is so offensive.
Mm.
Made me laugh.
Okay.
So El Dorado, but then last night I ended up watching, and this is actually a better movie, The Sons of Katie Elder. Have you seen this?
I think so.
It's with John Wayne and Dean Martin.
Okay.
Pretty good.
All right.
A+.
Those are your two suggestions.
Those are my two suggestions. Both John Wayne.
Both John Wayne.
The older I get, the more, I've always appreciated John Wayne.
Sure.
Our grandpa, every time we're over at his house, it feels like he's watching a John Wayne movie.
Pretty much.
There's like 85 John Wayne movies.
A lot.
Yeah, he was doing like two a year.
Oh,
his whole
probably
life.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the older I get, the more that I appreciate John Wayne movies.
Okay.
I just like them.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. John Wayne. Basically, sounds like your Netflix suggestion of the week is anything John Wayne that you could watch. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My suggestion of the week. Now, I'm going to preface it by saying if you like these people, you will like this show.
Okay.
Mythbusters. Did you ever watch Mythbusters?
I love Mythbusters.
I love Mythbusters, too. Now, the side people, Tori, Grant, and Carrie, were the kind of the extras, and they would always have their own thing going off on the side.
Yeah.
Now, Mythbusters isn't a show anymore. They're done.
Yeah.
But Tori, Grant, and Carrie now have their own Netflix original called The White Rabbit Project.
Okay.
And it's basically the same thing. It feels a little bit different. The structure of it is different, but it's pretty much them doing what they did.
Right.
So if you liked Mythbusters, specifically if you liked those three guys, two guys and a girl, and a pizza place, I don't know, then you will like this show. If you were like me, it was always kind of like I wanted more of the main two guys, and they were kind of interesting sometimes, but not always.
Yeah,
kind of annoying to me sometimes.
The other three are?
Yeah, the other three sometimes.
I like the whole thing because they're different.
Yeah, well, I watched the first episode, and my kids really enjoyed it, where they were fascinated with it. The first episode is they're trying to duplicate superhero powers.
Ooh, okay.
So, you know, there's like Electro Man and invisibility and mind control and seeing if they can do these things. And it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting. And my kids were totally sucked into it. So.
Mythbusters is one of those, you know, I never went to like DVR it or tape it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that's like you've got nothing else going on. There's no sports on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Saturday afternoon and there's a Mythbusters marathon on.
Seems
and you
like
catch like three or four in a row.
We've talked about this a lot lately. I don't know why. This has been a topic of conversation, but the whole like you're at home sick thing, okay?
Yeah.
I had never seen Mythbusters. I was living in Virginia. This was probably, gosh, I mean like
15 years ago.
Maybe 15 years ago. Yeah. And they had a couple of seasons out, I think.
Yeah.
And I had never seen it, and I was home, and I watched, and this was like before kids.
Right.
What I found out, and I was thinking about our whole conversation about like being sick at home and all that kind of stuff. The truth is, when you have kids, life just happens, and you really can't be sick. You're like
not allowed
to be sick.
Yeah.
But this was before kids, and so I stayed at home all day and watched just episode after episode of Mythbusters, and then I'm just telling everybody I know about it. Like, there's this amazing show. And so that's when I was introduced to it. And I don't know that I've seen all the episodes, but
Well, there's so many of them.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, The White Rabbit Project.
Okay. How many episodes are there?
I'm not exactly sure.
Is it like
sure.
a whole
it's like
season?
A full
or?
Season.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I
can tell you really... Well, I don't know about eight. Really quickly. 10 episodes.
Okay. See, what I can't stand is, like, I'm in a weird show hole right now. Because I've just been going to bed really, really early, and I'll turn something on as I go to sleep. But I don't want to turn something on that's going to keep my interested.
You have no intention to watch it, really.
No, I want to zone out to it.
Right.
Which is why I've been watching, like, old, like, John Wayne movies. Because I can kind of, like, fall asleep and wake up and fall asleep and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to watch that Abstract thing. I think it was your suggestion last week.
I just watched episode 3 or 4 last night and all of them are different because it's like the one last night was about an architect who's doing like different things than any architect has ever done. So they're all very different. They're all fascinating.
I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing we were talking about before we started recording is it seems like there are so many Netflix originals.
Yeah.
Like, so many.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that trend continues. I don't know. Netflix has to be making tons of money in order to finance
to produce
these things.
The stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah.
And
did you ever watch my suggestion from the Curse of the Man Who Sees UFOs?
I still haven't watched it.
Okay. You need to watch it.
Well, need, you know.
Do it without the kids in the room.
What does need mean?
I want to hear your take.
Okay. All right, so that's the Netflix suggestion of the week. Now, as far as what's on tap for today, we wanted to finally tell the Bo Diaz story on air. It's something we've alluded to. In the last episode, I talked about how I have my baseball cards with me, and I have the Bo Diaz cards. When we were kids, I suppose a way to start it is, do kids collect baseball cards anymore?
I don't know. I mean, my kids don't.
Yeah. The other day I was at the store and I was looking at like where the baseball cards would be, and there were just basically like two kind of places where you could get baseball cards.
Well, see, now there's like a thousand
Pokemon, and there's a bunch of other stuff like that. And baseball card, it used to be there was a baseball card section, and there was like Donruss and Topps and Upper Deck, and you could choose, and they had big boxes and small boxes and little packs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that way anymore. It's just barely anything.
Did I tell you a couple years ago, I was somewhere, and I found like some unopened packs of like 1986 Tops.
Really?
Yeah. And I bought a couple.
Yeah.
And they had the gum in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you chew it?
It was the worst thing ever. Because it's 30 years old.
But it was bad then.
It was bad then.
Yeah.
And it's aged 30 years.
Well, like when our dad was a kid, he said that the reason that they had baseball cards was because they were buying bubble gum.
Yeah.
And when we were kids, the bubble gum was an addition to the baseball card.
Right.
When he was a kid, the baseball cards were an addition to the bubble gum. It was like you got bubble gum and you got a baseball card with it.
Right.
That's why nobody collected them, and they ended up being worth $1 million.
Right.
Because people weren't thinking that they were valuable. By the time we were kids, all of our dads, every one of us, were very upset because they had seven Johnny Bench rookie cards and Mickey Mantle cards and all of this kind of stuff that would have been worth so much money.
Our dad had a box of cards in the attic, and our grandma threw them away. Yeah.
That could have been our college.
Or more.
Payments.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks a lot, Grandma. So anyway, but we, for better or for worse, we did collect baseball cards when we were kids and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think probably, I mean, we had some older cards, but I would say we started in what, like 86?
Yeah, 86.
Something like
that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, so we're like 7 years old.
I was five.
Yeah, I was 7 years five.
Yeah.
And then we went through 91, 92.
91, 92, and then we were just about done.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was, you know, elementary age,
you
know. I have so many fond memories.
I love baseball cards, by the way.
They're the best. I think
my favorite baseball cards are the ones that the picture was obviously, like, the picture was staged. You know, like, the live-action baseball cards where they actually took it in a real game.
Right.
You know, those are fine, but I always love the awkward. In fact, Adam, the male nurse, and I, we have a little game that we play with each other.
Yeah.
We will send each other, like if we come across like on Google or something, the most random, awful, weird baseball cards of all time. So we just, if you look at our conversation, like every, I don't know, so often it's just like a random weird baseball card.
Oil can Boyd.
Just like, and what's great is like, because those baseball cards are so like ingrained in your memory, those names are like, you know, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And you have like this specific, like I remember the Greg Jeffries card.
Oh yeah.
Because he was a future
star.
Yes, he was a future star. And I remember, like, it seemed like there was one of those cards in every deck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so lucky that I'm getting this future star.
Well, I think at the time that Greg Jeffries' card was worth, like, $1.50.
Right, it was.
And, you know, I mean, those rest of those cards were worth, like, 35 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking, oh, my gosh.
I'm just collecting these Greg Jeffries. And he's in my mind, Greg Jeffries one day is going to be...
He's a future star.
He's a future star. They couldn't put it on a card if it wasn't true. So so we collected cards, and then because we each had our own cards, we would trade. For instance, when we were kids, I really liked King Griffey Jr. and you liked Barry Bonds.
Right.
So there were a lot of straight Barry Bonds for King Griffey Jr. trades.
Which, in hindsight, is a pretty good trade.
I think both ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's worked out
for
both of us pretty well. So we did a lot of that.
You know, I had a dream just the other night that I sold all of my baseball cards. Like, I found them, and they were worth, like, a ton of money.
Really?
No code. And I bought a car with it or something.
Yeah.
It was a weird dream.
I only have – the only baseball cards I have now are the 1990 deck.
Really?
Yeah. Then I think you might have some of
mine.
No. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I don't. I've looked through – because I've got, like, one bin.
Here's what I think happened. Because it was maybe 10 years ago – Maybe 15 years ago, I was home on vacation, and brought up a huge box, and she said, "Get rid of this stuff." And they were baseball cards. At that time, I was married, and I looked through all the baseball cards. I may have taken one or two out, and I was like, "I don't want the rest of these."
What'd you do with them?
I think I gave them to you. I think I gave you the box, and I said, "I don't," because there I couldn't find anything that I thought was worth anything. So,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I have a slight memory of that, but I remember holding on to this team set of the Reds.
Yeah,
and then I have a. Later in life, somehow I got a Cal Ripken rookie card.
Yeah.
So I have that, which is my most expensive card because that's still early enough where people hadn't quite figured out that baseball cards were going to be worth as much. Some people had. But so the Cal Ripken rookie is a good one.
This is still an argument my wife and I have. When we first got married, she saw all my baseball cards. And she grew up with sports. She liked sports.
Yeah.
So she... She was kind of excited to look at the cards and, you know, kind of go through them. And I told her she could organize them, you know, by, like, team or I can't remember.
You got to do it by team.
Yeah. So she started doing it, but I had a separate box that I had pulled all of my best cards from.
Yeah.
And put it in a separate box. It was like a box of, like that big. So it fit
You know,
maybe,
this is an audio medium. People don't know what that big means.
I'm showing you so that you can possibly help me describe it.
Okay.
Maybe 500 cards? What would fit in that? 250 cards?
I'd say 250 cards.
Okay, so 250 cards.
Okay.
And I put, like, my best 250 cards in this one box.
Right.
Because I wanted to be able to find them later.
Sure.
And she had sorted through that box.
Ah.
But that was the box I wanted separate. I didn't want those organized.
Yes.
Because those were the best cards.
Right.
So they're in... Now all my cards are all mixed together. I mean, there's,
that's a project.
20,000 cards I got to go through.
Yeah.
You know what I should do? My son Harrison would probably enjoy that.
Yeah, but like does going he know who's good?
Go on Beckett and just look up each one.
Oh, geez. Harrison would probably like that.
He probably would like that.
He probably would like that. Well, and the other thing about baseball cards is, so we traded the King Griffey Jr. for Barry Bonds straight up.
And that, when we were kids, we went to a Reds game.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Bonds was playing for Pittsburgh, so it was Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati.
Right.
And from the stands, I yelled at Mr. You know, I yelled,
well,
Mr. Bonds.
The story was, so we were, it was left, it was at left field.
No, we were right field.
We were right field, okay. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's right. It was right field, and it was before the game, and he's warming up.
Yeah.
So his back is to us, and he's playing catch, and kids are screaming at him. There's probably 20 kids screaming, Barry, Barry.
Where he's playing catch with Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, Barry, throw me a ball, Barry.
Yeah.
Throw me a ball. And everybody's screaming, Barry, 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 Barry. And then you waited, because even when you were seven, you were a master manipulator.
Yes.
You waited until there was just
a moment of silence.
Moment of silence, and you yelled, "Mr. Bonds, could you please throw me a baseball?" Like that, you know, very respectful.
Yes,
Mr. Bonds. And Barry Bonds turns around. And he goes, "Who said that?" You know, and of course, every kid was like, "It was me." You know, but somehow he figured out it was you, and he gave you the ball.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep.
That's, I don't know. It's a brush with greatness, as far as I'm concerned.
I really wish now, because I didn't understand that he was going to be who he was.
Yeah.
I really wish I could have had him sign it.
Sure, of course.
That would have,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I still have the ball somewhere.
Yeah.
It's the only, like, official Major League Baseball I have. So if I ever find it, I know that it's that ball. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it would have been so great to have him sign it.
Yeah, it would have been great to have him sign it. I've been watching the Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Lately? I don't know why. We found it.
Because you don't have real cable.
My girl, yeah.
So you're watching PBS.
So the PBS app, actually.
Okay.
And I found the Antiques Roadshow. And my girls and I were watching it. And we loved it. It was fun because we were guessing how much this cost. And there was a Ty Cobb baseball that had been signed. The lady that had it, her mom was a nurse in the hospital where Ty Cobb died.
Oh, wow.
And it was like 5 days. He dated. It was like 5 days before he died.
Wow.
And she was taking care of him, and they had developed a relationship.
That could be his last signature.
Well, maybe. Yeah. And she said, she brought a baseball up to him and asked him if he could sign it, and he did. And this one is unique because he signed it twice. And the guy's like, I don't know why he signed it twice, but this is in your favor because you don't see a lot of Ty Cobb baseballs that were signed twice. It's dated. You have a story behind it. And he's like, I'd say it's worth about $20,000.
Wow.
Which blew me away. I was thinking maybe $5,000, $6,000 because there's a lot of baseballs. There's a lot.
But not
be a
Ty
lot
Cobb.
It's an older one. Yeah.
And there's a history behind it.
And it's signed twice.
Yeah.
And he said it was in green ink. And he said Ty Cobb usually signed in green ink, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Did you know Ty Cobb was rich? He was the first, like, rich baseball player?
No.
And do you know why he was rich?
No.
Coca-Cola stock.
Really?
He's from Atlanta.
Okay.
He's from Georgia. That's where Coca-Cola's from. And before Coca-Cola was big, he bought a bunch of Coca-Cola stock.
Really?
And then when he was in Detroit, before GM got big, he bought a bunch of GM stock.
Wow.
And he was like literally, like, just like yeah. legitimately rich.
Okay.
Not from his baseball playing career, but because right. good investments. Yeah. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. And then I was asking my daughter, I said, do you think we have anything we could take on the Antiques Roadshow? I yeah. know we don't, right, but, right. you know, I'm just trying to see what
we got an old piano.
And she was thinking, she was like, huh. She goes, well, the only thing I can think of is I have an AJ Green football card. Which is just, oh my gosh, it's so funny because
she doesn't even know AJ Green is.
I don't know how, some kid at school gave it to her,
yeah.
you know, and the fact that she said the name AJ Green, she has no idea.
Right.
But he is a good football player, yeah. you know. Obviously, the card is probably worth 20 cents.
Yeah.
And,
that's funny.
And we'll never. But so I just the thought of her like going on that show with the AJ Green card, thinking, because yeah. the prices that we're seeing is like $10,000, yeah. $5,000, right, right, right. $20,000, you know.
See, my always, every time I watch a show like that, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, this is worth 20, sold.
Yeah.
Like, look, no, I'm not buying it. Well, like, yeah, no, it's, I'm, right. it done, I'm done with this.
Well, the, usually on the Antiques Roadshow, what the words, the way they say it is, they would say, I would get this insured for
right.
$20,000.
Insurance is completely different than auction.
And, well, and then sometimes they'll say, you know, this recently went on an auction right. somewhere else for this much. But a lot of times they'll say, I would get this insured for right. this much money, you right. know. So we're absolutely loving the show. My favorite part about the Antiques Roadshow is because this person brings this thing on, right? Yeah. And they're excited about
oh, yeah.
it, you know? And, but the people always give like a history lesson on the thing.
Yeah.
And just to watch the person's face try to act like they're actually interested in the history when they're not. All they're just waiting for the
like
price.
The money, yeah.
All they care about is the price.
Right.
They would be happy if you walked up, right. that you looked at it like $5,000, right. $500.
Now, the interesting thing about this luggage is that it was hand-stitched in Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
In 1850.
And the person owns it. Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. And in their mind, just like, get to the price. And it's so all over their face. It's hilarious. Yeah. And this one guy brought in, this was like old Japanese art.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, here's what I can tell you. This is 600 years old.
Wow.
You know, and he's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And this guy paid like $100 for it somewhere.
Yeah.
And he goes, now, something like this, but it was a complete set and it had calligraphy, recently went on auction for... like $30,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy was like, he made this like really high yeah. pitch. He's like, ooh, like that. You know what I mean? He's like, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
Yours isn't a complete set. It doesn't have calligraphy. You know,
right.
It's got some folding markings, you know. He's like, I'd place it at like maybe $2,000, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, all right, okay. And he's so obviously disappointed because he heard $30,000 and oh, it was so funny. Oh my gosh.
Completely setting him up for failure.
Yeah, I know. That's my favorite, is when somebody brings something in. The best, the very best, is when somebody brings something in, they're convinced, and then they showed them like a, like on the bottom it says made in China or something like that.
Yeah,
that's the best. So I don't know how I got off on that, you know, baseball cards. So anyway, we used to make trades, and you're older than me.
Yeah.
And so you would get the better end of the deal a lot of times.
Yes.
You would trick me into getting, and I was naive. I still am naive today, even to this day. You've always been cynical. I've always been naive, which is a great thing for a cynical person to have a naive younger brother.
Yeah.
So a lot of times,
so you, like, what would be an easy trade, just off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Is if I gave you three cards that were worth 30 cents each.
Yeah.
That's 90 cents.
Right.
For a card that's worth like 75 cents.
Right.
So it's a better player, but I'm giving you three scrubs.
Right.
For a good card,
and you make that,
like, dude, it's
argument
worth more.
To me. I'm like, yeah.
Well, gee, 90 cents versus 75 cents.
Yeah, that's easy math.
Yeah.
Slam dunk. Done. You know.
Meanwhile, I get the star.
You get the good.
And you get three scrubs.
Yeah, that aren't worth anything. Now, at some point when we were kids, I got a Bo Diaz card. Now, if you're listening to the show and you don't know who Bo Diaz is, you're That's fine.
They're along with 99% of the population.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe higher.
Yeah. I told the story to Adam, the male nurse.
Yeah.
And he knew who Bo Diaz was, okay. But he's kind of a crazy baseball fan.
Yeah.
And he was like, Bo, he has always like weird statistics or like weird facts. He's like, yeah. Bo Diaz died being electrocuted on his roof. And I was like, I did not know that. Yeah.
For real?
I'm pretty sure that's what he said. Adam, write in and let me know, but I'm pretty sure that was the case. So anyway.
Now, is he picking on you because you're naive?
So that's maybe possible. Now that you say it, I'm thinking.
Would Adam do this?
I don't think Adam would.
Now, here's the funny thing about Bo Diaz. Yeah, Adam's, sounds like a Tim Kirchin.
Adam's nicer than you. Adam's, you know. But anyway, I got a Bo Diaz card. Now, when we were kids, we were aware that there was a catcher for the Reds.
Right.
Who was fantastic.
His name was Johnny Bench.
His name was Johnny Bench. I was probably 4 years old, five years old, whatever, and I had a Bo Diaz card. He was a catcher for the Reds.
Yeah.
And it was like a very colorful card, I think. And in my mind, it was Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
This was a fantastic card, and I loved this card.
Yeah.
And you traded me for it because I wanted it. And so I have the Bo Diaz card, and I'm so excited.
Right.
You obviously got the better end of the deal.
Yeah.
But you're a little evil, and
I'm not evil.
At the time, there are some, you know, and
I'm just,
you
I'm
you
just
looked
the typical
at,
older brother.
You looked at me, and you could not live in a world where I was happy with this trade. Right, like I was excited that I had this Bo Diaz card, and in your mind, like you shouldn't be excited about this, right?
Yeah,
and it was upset you to see me so happy. Basically, is the way I view it.
You know, I don't really remember how it went down.
That's exactly what it was. And so you were like upset because it's like, no, that card's not worth anything. This is stupid.
Like I've just totally oofed you on this trade,
and you shouldn't be excited about this.
Yeah.
Like don't be so excited about this. You know. And so, but I loved this Bo Diaz card. Just absolutely loved it. It was my prize at 4 or 5
prize
years
possession.
Old. It was my prize possession.
Yeah.
And sometimes we would get in fights, as brothers do.
On
a
daily basis.
Yeah, one person would get upset or whatever. And this happened at some point. And why don't you tell the listener, Jason, what you did when you were upset at me?
Okay. I don't actually have a memory of this. I know it happened.
I have a memory of it. It's ingrained in my memory.
I think something – you did something to hack me off. I don't know what it was. So I was going to get my revenge.
Okay.
And I grabbed your 1987 Bo Diaz card.
When I wasn't around.
Yeah.
I wasn't even around.
I took it from your box of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I decided I was going to rip it up and put it under your bed.
And you did.
And I did.
And then I found it.
Yeah.
And I was devastated.
Yeah.
I mean, devastated. Absolutely heartbroken.
Here's the thing. I really do feel bad about it, but I have no memory of this.
I have a vivid memory of it.
My memory, I have a selective memory.
Yes.
I remember things I want to and completely have forgotten things I don't want to.
Most people do.
I would think that I would remember.
Mm-hmm. Ripping it up.
Yeah, ripping it up. I don't remember.
I remember coming up on it and seeing it and like... It would be like if you came up on a car wreck and you're like putting pieces together, like
what,
you know,
how
what's happening
this,
here? Yeah. Like at first you can't quite believe it. You're like, what is this? Oh, it's a ripped baseball card. Why is there a ripped? Oh, what? Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just, and I'm just holding the pieces of the baseball card, just devastated.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastated.
Were they kind of stacked up, or were they spread out?
They were spread out.
Okay.
And I don't think you put them under my mattress. I think you left them like on my bed. You know, it was like.
I don't think I would have left him on your bed.
No, you did it because you wanted to get even. You were mad at me.
Yeah.
And you want, you know, like,
okay.
There's no purpose in doing it if I don't know you did it.
That's true.
It was on my bed.
Are we sure our sister didn't do it?
Yeah. No, she wouldn't. First of all, she wouldn't have known which card to do. Like, you got into the cards and you specifically picked out the Bo Diaz.
It could have happened.
No, Amy wouldn't have known which card to pick.
And she was 3 years old.
And she was 3 years old. She wouldn't have. It was you.
It would make sense a 3-year-old would rip up a baseball card.
Yes, but not get the perfect card to rip up and put it exactly where I would see it. And
it seems pretty coincidental.
You did it, all right? I know you did it. Don't try to get out of this.
I honestly do feel bad about it.
Yeah. So, but thankfully, I have the Bo Diaz card now.
You got it back.
Later in life,
Not the ripped up one. You didn't tape it together.
No, I didn't tape it together. But I have found the Bo Diaz card. I don't know. I'm looking at two Bo Diaz cards right now as we speak. There's the Topps 1997 and a Fleer. Fleer is a crap card, yeah. By the way. I mean, no Fleer card is ever worth anything. But I just don't remember if this was the one. I remember it being colorful for some reason.
Was it the 1986 one?
Maybe it was
black
the black
logo?
Yeah, I think that's maybe what it was. I'm going to look it up as we're talking. But anyway, so that's the Bo Diaz story. You know, that hopefully will give you an insight into... I think most people who listen to the show realize that, like, I'm the good guy and you're the bad guy. You know, I think most people... Like, you're the hater.
I mean, what is good and what is bad? You know, because
it's exactly what I think I heard Hitler say that once.
Here's the thing: what did you do to provoke it?
You know what I mean?
You
like,
did something to provoke it. Why would I just tear up a card? That doesn't make any sense.
Why would you do half of the horrible things you did? You know, you were an older brother, and you were a bully to me. You picked on me.
Yeah, I just was training up. You know. Just getting you ready for life.
You would think that because of it, there's...
Yeah, it was 1986. Yeah, it was that one. I remember ripping that card.
Yeah, because it's a... Now that I'm looking at it...
It's an action shot.
It's an action shot. He's, like, holding the ball at home plate, like, stopping a guy from sliding in. It looks like a Cardinals player, maybe, is sliding in. Boy, there's all sorts of... I should just collect Bo Diaz cards. They would be easy to collect because nobody cares about them.
Well, maybe, like, if he still has family left.
So his family, and then after that...
You.
How great would it be if I had every Bo Diaz card?
That would be pretty great.
It wouldn't be that expensive. I mean, I could go on Amazon and start getting them right now.
Are people selling just Bo Diaz cards?
On Amazon? Well, here's a signed Bo Diaz card. Yeah, 1986 Fleer. Oh, man. I don't know that Upper Decks held their value. It used to be like Upper Decks were super expensive. They were way more expensive than the other ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know that in hindsight, looking back on it, that they are more expensive.
I don't know. I know nothing. Topps is the one that's held up over time, right? I mean, they're the one that's been around forever.
Yeah, I think Topps is the Topps.
They're Topps.
All right. So that's it for today's show. That's the Bo Diaz story, a little reminiscing about baseball cards. And now I'm in the mood to look at baseball cards.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to do that. Erica, my wife, had some, apparently, God knows why, had baseball cards.
When she was growing up?
She had like a thing of them.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why. And she was like so excited to show them to me.
Yeah.
Like, right after we got married, she's like, oh, you go through my baseball cards and tell me.
Yeah.
They were all like...
garbage.
Basically, they were all the equivalent of a Fleer Bo Diaz card. I mean, it wasn't a good brand. And she was like, it was like the... like,
stuff that comes out of a cereal box.
Yeah, and it was like the Big Bear special card.
Yeah,
you know?
Kroger.
Yeah, exactly.
Kellogg.
Yeah, had like logos from like product placement on them. I'm like, these are all garbage.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I do like to look through baseball cards.
Yeah.
It is fun to do. So it's got me in the mood. And I'm already in the mood for baseball because it's late February. We're about ready to move into March, April. Baseball season is just around the corner. So, all right. There you go. I have no idea what song is being played. RBI Baseball. Dun 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 dun. I should get. I'll get a clip
dun,
too
dun,
that's got some
dun, dun, dun,
baseball
dun,
play in
dun,
it. So,
dun, 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 dun.
Bum, 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 bum. So that's being played right now in the background.
Yeah.
RBI Baseball, which was another fun game to play.
Which I always won.
Not always.
Most of the time.
Yeah, because you also deceived me back then, and you would convince me that my team was better, and like, well, I'll just take the American League All-Stars and you can be the Cardinals, you know. I mean, I want to be the Cardinals. I'd rather be the Cardinals because then I could have Ozzie Smith and he's amazing, you know. But I'll let you be the Cardinals.
And Vince Coleman.
Yeah, and I'll just take the All-Star, the AL All-Star team. Like, sweet! I got Brett Saberhagen. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, this is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.